Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Friday edition of the program. Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. We'll be cranking it up, going solo the first portion of the show today. JC's probably on one of his worldwide tours. Second portion of the show, we'll be joined by John Clay from the Lexington Herald. Talk a little UK football, get their thoughts, what's going on in Lexington, what kind of crowd he expects. If you got any comments or questions for him, shoot them to us via the Titanomar text line or on Facebook Live. Last night, the Jags, what a game. It was a heck of a football game. A lot of these NFL primetime games have been outstanding this year. I thought the Jags played very well. Joe Burrow leads his Bengals to a win. And I tell you what, I think Joe Burrow is going to be a star. I liked him in college. I think he could stay healthy. The Bengals are a team to be reckoned with. As I mentioned, second portion of the show, we're going to be joined by John Clay talking UF Kentucky. We can talk about anything you want. We'll also have our Peachline Dentistry picks. JC did text me his picks, so we'll go through those. So everybody knows we both sit at 26 and 27 on the year, not very good. We'll see how we go. I know who he's picked already, so we'll go from there. Also last night, I don't know if you watched any of it. I was clicking back and forth. The Miami Hurricanes lose a heartbreaker. They come from behind, have a chance to win the game, have a really good field goal kicker as a chip shot. It couldn't have been more than 25 yards, 30 yards. He bangs it off the goalpost, and Miami goes to 2-3. They put Howard Schnellenberger up in the ring of honor, and it's a shame. I guarantee you there wasn't 15,000 people at Hard Rock Stadium. Horrible crowd, as usual. But Miami is not a very good football team. Makes you wonder. I know Derek King didn't play, but it makes you wonder, how good is Alabama? I don't think Alabama is what Alabama has been. And look out for the Ole Miss Rebels rolling into town this weekend. They could beat them. I really do believe that. Joseph says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melvin Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. Jags lost a close one. They couldn't finish that one off last night. I don't see them getting a win all season, unfortunately. It's going to be a long season. I haven't looked at their schedule, Joseph. My partner JC predicted they'd win at least 7 games. That means they got to win 7 out of the last, 13 left? They may win 1 or 2. But they played well. I thought Trevor Lawrence played well last night. They just couldn't put them away. That 4th and 1 that Urban called, they ran the option for Trevor Lawrence. The only thing that concerns me with coming out of that game last night is Trevor Lawrence. We know he's a good athlete, but he can't take that punishment, or he's going to get knocked out or get injured. They can't run him as much as they did last night. But Joseph does say here, the Gator kicker, Evan McPherson, hits the game winner for the Bengals. That's his second game winner in 4 weeks for the Bengals. The Bengals go 3-1, and the Houdet Nation is very excited in Cincinnati. And as Cincinnati gets prepared now, the University of Cincinnati, to travel to Notre Dame, and we'll talk about that. I got a text here on the Titanomar text line. Got a couple of them. Let's see what we got here. This comes from our good friend Ryan. He says, happy Friday, fellas. I'm going solo, though. Shane, it seems like a lot of Gator Nation is nervous about going to Lexington. But if Florida doesn't pull a 2020 LSU 3 turnovers and a thrown shoe, they're going to smoke the Cats. I'd love for Arkansas to pull the upset, but the defense between the hedges is on a whole nother level from what the Hogs have faced so far in the great state of Texas. Whether it's Jefferson or Hornsby, quarterback for Arkansas, they're going to get well acquainted with UGA's D-line, and the Dogs pull away late. I agree with that. McElwain didn't get much right in his short stint at Florida, but his best recruit that never donned the orange and blue is going to give Bama all they can handle this weekend. Kiffin and Corral take down Saban in a close one. That's right. I think a lot of people forget that McElwain and Nussmeier pretty much had Matt Corral as a Gator, but that changed when Dan was hired. In baseball, the Cardinals' winning streak ends at 17, but JC's Jag streak is still intact at a healthy 19 straight losses since starting last year 1-0. Have a great weekend. Same to you, Ryan. That's a lot of good points right there. But, the Jags, 19 in a row. You know, you got to win a couple of games to get that monkey off your back just so you know you can win a football game. But they looked better last night, I will say that. Matthew says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melvin Law, thought he should have pitched on the option a little more to Robinson's on my fantasy team. Daniel says P. Ryan got some snaps and looked good for the Bengals. That's not our P. Ryan. That's Samaje P. Ryan, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think it's Samaje P. Ryan, that running back from Oklahoma. I think LaMichael P. Ryan is on the Jets. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, though. Sandy says, Jake, can't JC call in from his first class seat on Delta Airlines? There's no telling where JC is, so he's out. He did send in his picks, and we'll get to the Peachland Dentistry weekend picks here shortly. Got another text on the Titan MR text line from Daryl. He says, good morning, guys. There were more fans at a high school game than there was at Miami last night. I agree with that 100%. I just don't know if Miami will ever get back to being competitive or being relevant. Give me your thoughts. It's embarrassing to play a game and only have 10, 15, 20. They'll probably say 20 or 30. There's no way if you saw the overhead shot. And it's a shame because they had a bunch of former players back. As I said, they were honoring Howard Snellenberger. But it was a bad, bad look. Sandy says also on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melon Law, she feels a panic attack coming from Urban very soon. Joseph wants to know, which game do I think will be closer, Georgia, Arkansas, or Ole Miss, Alabama? I think Ole Miss, Alabama. I got a feeling that I agree with what Ryan said in his text, that Arkansas, they've been a great story, but I just don't see them doing a whole lot against Georgia's defense. And, again, it's not like Georgia's played a bunch of great teams. I understand, but athletically, I don't think they're on the same playing field. And I could see this being like a 35-6 type game. I think Ole Miss Alabama is going to be a track meet. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. We got a great slate of especially SEC games. You know, you got Georgia, Arkansas at noon, Alabama, Ole Miss at the 3:30 game, Gators kick off at 6 against Kentucky, and then you got LSU Auburn at 9. So it should be a great game. You also have Notre Dame Cincinnati playing. We'll get to those games here shortly. Chris says on Facebook Live, the Hogs are going to get mopped by the Dogs. I agree. I just the eye test tells me it won't be close, but we could be wrong. Turn your car or truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from WrapSpot. This October, yep, folks, it's already October the 1st. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. I'm going solo for the first portion of the show today. We'll be joined by John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader, talking Big Blue Nation. Speaking of October, this is a crucial month for the Gators, in my opinion. Think about it. You go to Kentucky, which we haven't played well there lately. I think we're going to play well this week, though. You come home with Vanderbilt, forget that game. But you go to LSU, bye week, then you got the Dogs in Jacksonville. So we're going to find out a lot about our football team, where we stand in the national perspective here in the month of October. So buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride. Let's see. Richard says Ole Miss is going to be exciting. Yeah, that I agree with you there. There was a trivia question I wanted to throw out to all our listeners here, which I thought was somewhat interesting. I get these trivia questions sent to me via email from some site. But I want this talks about, to the point in this season, there are 11 FBS teams that are allowing fewer than 15 points per game. Can you name the 11 teams with elite defenses so far? So I'll let that marinate for a few minutes. And if anybody wants to chime in a few minutes, I'll give you the top 11 teams in FBS that are allowing fewer than 15 points per game. Just got a text on the Titan MR text line from Seth. Seth says, well, he just asked the same question that, oh no, here's what his question was. What's a better game, UF Bama or Ole Miss Bama? Well, Ole Miss Bama, the games that they've played over the years, they beat them two straight years when Hugh Freeze was the coach. I would say Ole Miss because of their style of play. Their offense is so explosive, and the amount of yards and points they put on Bama last year, I think people expect that this year. Matt Corral's probably, if the season ended right now, he would win the Heisman Trophy. He's having a heck of a year. I don't think he's thrown an interception yet. So it's going to be a heck of a game. I just think Alabama can get exposed on defense. Now, I know Saban's going to have some tricks up his sleeve, but I just didn't see any dominating players on that side of the ball when they were here in the swamp. That doesn't mean they won't be dominating tomorrow. Norman says, the P. Ryan boys are cousins. Yes, I just wanted to make sure I was correct that LaMichael P. Ryan, the Gator, I believe is still with the Jets. Samaje P. Ryan is who the people saw last night, number 34 for the Cincinnati Bengals. So just wanted to make sure I was correct. All right, so nobody wants to chime in. I see on my top 11 teams that are holding people for 11 points or less. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Georgia is allowing 5.8 points per game. Texas A&M, still a very good football team, just inept on offense due to the quarterback. And they got some issues on the offensive line as well. 9.3. Iowa at 11. Michigan, 11.8. Clemson's playing really good defense, only giving up 12 points a game. NC State at 13. Rutgers at 13.5. Maryland, who has a big game tonight against number five ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. Maryland's undefeated as well. They're only giving up 14.3. Purdue at 14.3. Wake Forest, who I think is going to win the ACC at 14.3, and Arkansas at 14.5. So that's your 11 FBS teams allowing all, fewer than 15 points per game. So Dan asked a question about Vandy. I'm not sure what he's asking here. John says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, interesting to note that last year Ole Miss had 57 run plays to 29 pass plays. If Ole Miss can run over 180, I like their chances. I think people forget Ole Miss led the league in rushing last year. Everybody thinks they throw it a lot. They go 100 miles an hour, but they run the ball more than they throw it. And obviously, they got a dual threat quarterback in Corral who's done a tremendous job running the football as well. But yes, Ole Miss led the league in rushing last year. I think they're right behind us right now. So I think they run for a ton of yards against Alabama. We shall see, though. As I said, we'll be joined by John Clay talking Big Blue Nation here momentarily. I want to get to This Day in Sports, brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's now hiring team members with all levels of experience. Great culture and benefits and opportunity for growth. $1,000 signing bonus. Call Comfort Temp today at 352-376-2366. This Day in Sports. Back in 1997, Nebraska head football coach Tom Osborne records his 250th NCAA career victory with a 67-7 drubbing of the Oklahoma Sooners. Osborne in his 25th season reaches the milestone faster than anyone else, only in 301 games. Boy, does Nebraska wish they had Tom Osborne back. They had some heck of teams back in those days. They were unbelievable. But that's This Day in Sports brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Let's see here. John also says on Facebook Live, I think Lane has been preparing for this game all year. He is obsessed with beating Saban. Well, none of his assistants have ever had any success beating him. If anyone has a chance, I think it's the Ole Miss Rebels this week. But we shall see. It's going to be a heck of a game, folks. I'm curious what the Gator Nation's thoughts are going to Lexington. You know, I've heard so many people, whether they've chimed into my show, other shows that I'm on, they're very concerned about this game. I'd like to know your thoughts. The only reason I say I have any concern, and the closer we get to game time, I don't really have those concerns. We just haven't played well the last two times we've gone to Lexington. Now, we all know what happened last time we went there. Felipe gets hurt. Trask comes off the bench. The rest is history. But the previous time we went there under McElwain, that was the game that they had us beat. They didn't cover two wide open receivers. Didn't even line up on them. Just threw it out to them, touchdown. So we've got to weather the storm, in my opinion, in the first quarter. We're clearly a better team. They're ranked, I think, ninth nationally in rushing defense, but they haven't played a rushing attack like ours. So if we protect the football, don't give up big plays early, kind of take the crowd out of it, I think we'll be okay. Chris says on Facebook Live, I always hear people talking about good teams improving as the season progresses. Is it easier for the running game to improve or the passing game? On defense, is it run D or passing D? That's a great question, Chris. Yes, you hear coaches talk about we want to get better each week. That's coach speak. It's true, though. But you could play great one week and not so great the next week. Just who knows why? You know, football's a strange game. It's the greatest team sport there is. All 11 guys have to do their job to be successful on every play. And sometimes you got to give credit to the other team. So I think it just depends on if you're more of a better running team or a passing team. I don't think we'll ever be a great passing team, especially how we were last year. You won't see that again. The reason I say that is because all the quarterbacks that Dan has recruited, all the quarterbacks on the roster now are his quarterbacks. They're all the dual threat, not great passers, but, you know, average throwers. So you won't see a great passing team as you saw under Kyle Trask. You got to remember, Kyle was not one of his recruits. Neither was Felipe. But he did a tremendous job taking what those guys do well. And obviously, I think we led the country in passing last year and have a chance. I think we're number two in the country this year in rushing. We got another text here. I appreciate these texts on the Titan MR text line from Tom. Shane, what's your best memory from playing against Kentucky? Oh, good question. I've only been in Lexington once. That was in 1990 because 91 they came back to us. Should have gone there in 92, but that's when they realigned the SEC, so Kentucky came back to us. So my memories of playing, best memories, all of them were pretty good. Well, especially 90-91. 90, we win at Kentucky to seal the SEC, quote, championship. We go undefeated in 1990. I think that was the first team in Florida football history to ever go undefeated in the conference. Next year, in 92, we win the SEC first official title against Kentucky in the Swamp. We jump out on like 28-0. And then we had to struggle to finish them off. And then we had a big celebration with all the fans. So I do have really good memories of playing the Kentucky Wildcats. Clinched two titles against them. And then I think we hammered them in 92. I don't even remember what happened in 92. David says, I'm worried about these their offensive line. I was at South Carolina. The center is a monster, and I worry about our interior D-line will wear down over the game. Well, in the past, David, I would agree with you there. Kentucky's always been very physical on the offensive line. I'm not sure their offensive line is as stout as it was the last couple of years. But remember, we added three transfers, two from Auburn, one from Penn State. And those guys have played extremely well and helped this defense out. So I think we're okay there. Joseph wants to know, what's the Titan MR text line? I think it's on the that's a great question. I should know that. Evan, do we know what the – is it the Titan MR text line on the screen? It is. Okay. Well, do you want to text it to me so I can give it out? Because I should know that. Dan says on Facebook Live, Jeff Driscoll was hurt in the 2013 game and Tyler Murphy had his first start. Oh, Lord, that's an But I forgot about Tyler Murphy. And John says, I think it was Pro Football Focus that had Dexter as the second highest rated interior lineman that has graded out through 4 weeks. Good for him. He needs to play well. He needs to play up to his stars. But the other three guys have been outstanding. Okay, so the Titanomar text line, 352-353-7465. 352-353-7465. And Joseph says, our D-line is our strongest point of our defense. We've got some real dogs up front this year. I agree with that. John says, I need to memorize my text line because Feinbaum has his memorized. Well, that's true. Anyway, real quick, I want to get to our Peachland Dentistry, Gator Nation's number one choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte and surrounding areas. Visit them at peachlanddental.com. And it's time for the JC and the QB weekend picks. So JC, being on his travels, couldn't join us today. So he's going to go ahead, and he already sent me his picks. So I don't know how many games this is. We'll go through it real quick. That way, if you're interested in chiming in on any of these games. Good game tonight. Got two undefeated teams. Number five team in America, Iowa, travels to Maryland. Mike Loxley, Ron Zook is on this staff for the Maryland Terrapins. JC is taking Iowa. I'm going to take the Maryland Terrapins in the upset on a Friday night in the Big Ten. Arkansas, Georgia. JC is taking the points with the Hogs. I just see a bloodbath here, and I could be 100% wrong. I think Georgia takes them out behind the woodshed. It may be close first quarter and a half, but I just I don't know. I'm not a believer in Arkansas yet. We shall see. So Georgia, JC has Arkansas. I take Georgia. Big game in Tuscaloosa. JC obviously takes Alabama, his alma mater. I'm going to take the Ole Miss Rebels to keep it very close and possibly win the football game. Kentucky, Florida. JC takes Kentucky getting the points. I got the Gators. I think the Gators pull away in the second half and win handily. Texas A&M. Host Mississippi State. We both are taking the Aggies. It's time for them to start playing up to their potential. And maybe Mississippi State's the team that gets them going in the right direction. The 9 o'clock game on ESPN, big game in Death Valley. The Cajuns will be liquored up for a 9 p.m. Eastern kick. JC's taking LSU, the home team. I'm going to take the Auburn Tigers just to be different in an upset. I just think Auburn's got a really good defense, and I think they're going to – they played horrible last week. I think Brian Harsin got their attention, and I think they pull the upset. Gene says on Facebook Live, I saw where the Kentucky QB eats his bananas, banana peels and all. I bet JC eats the entire banana as well. He might. Yeah, they had a big story on that. I know Alyssa Lang ate a banana. I've seen a bunch of people. I've never tried that, and I don't plan to try it. Maybe our listeners will and let me know if it's any good. Wisconsin hosts undefeated Michigan. JC and I are both taking Wisconsin. I'm not a believer in Michigan yet. I think Wisconsin stinks, but I think they cover at home. Huge game for Cincinnati. They win this game. They will not lose this year. They travel to Notre Dame. Cincinnati's the favorite. JC's taking the Bearcats. Somehow Notre Dame keeps winning games, so I'm going to take the Irish. Oklahoma State and Baylor. I don't know where this game's being played, but JC took Baylor, so I'm going to take the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I think they're undefeated, believe it or not. I think both these teams are undefeated. Clemson hosts Boston College, who is undefeated, beat Missouri last week in overtime. A lot of points. I think it's 14.5, JC says. We're both taking BC. Syracuse is getting 5.5 from the semi somehow. Syracuse with the big win the other night over Liberty. I'm going to take the Orange just till Florida State can win a game. And then in the NFL, JC picked one game for us. He took Tampa Bay over the Patriots. I'm going to take Tampa Bay as well. So there are your Peachland Dentistry weekend picks brought to you by our good friends at Peachland. Got a bunch of texts here. Hang on. Let me read them. This comes from Daryl. Shane, I've been concerned about the Kentucky game because the game's passed. Glad to see Jacob Finn punting for Virginia. I saw that last night. Jacob Finn, who was the backup punter for the Gators, transferred to Virginia, and he's been their punter all year long. Let's see, a couple of these Facebook. Rick says, what? Shane taking Notre Dame? Well, I only did it mainly. I'm kind of pulling for Cincinnati to win, Rick, but I'm just trying to pick different games to make it interesting for our picks contest. Daniel says, I will not be eating any whole bananas unless I get paid. I wonder if anybody's ever taken a bite with the peel and everything, if it was worth a darn. So I don't know. I'm not going to try that. But anyway, don't forget here, we're going to take a time out here shortly, and we're going to be joined by John Clay, talking Kentucky football, get his thoughts. He works for the Lexington Herald Leader. He also does a podcast for the Big Blue Nation there in Kentucky. There was one other thing I wanted to bring up. I wanted to get your thoughts. A lot of people, I know we got a lot of Gator fans, Jaguar fans. Do you think the Jags win a game? You know, maybe JC decided not to show up today because his Jags, he predicted to win 7 games or more, are over right now. Maybe he just didn't want to come on air and face the crowd. He's hiding from y'all. Okay, so somebody did. Oh, John says Andy Staples, former Gator, does a tremendous job with all his talk shows. Ate the whole banana after losing a bet. He said it was really good. What bet did he lose? That's what I want to know. I'll have to call Andy and find out. And Key says needs to be fully ripe. It sounds horrible either way. But obviously Keith has tried it, I guess. That's a high school. The Dogs played last night and got a big win over Santa Fe 44-0. Looking forward to going and watching Fort St. Joe next Friday. All right, so what we're going to do is we are going to take a quick timeout, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk Kentucky football. We may throw in a couple basketball questions since basketball season started with our good friend John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader. And we come back, if you got any questions or comments for him, get the perspective of the Kentucky fan base, let us know. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. We'll be right back.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Eastland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar, located on top of Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Celebration Point, is now open Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Covered Open Air Bar is the perfect place to gather after work or meet up with friends. You'll love the handcrafted cocktails and elevated shareables available every Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar is perfect for fans of great food, great drinks, and great weather. Visor's not required. High spirits are highly encouraged. Visit Spurrier's.com/visor.
Are you tired of being sidelined by nagging pain? Hi, I'm Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer and Dance with the Stars champion. Happy to tell you about QC Kinetics and their biologic therapies for treating pain without drugs or surgery.
Are you suffering from chronic pain in your hips, knees, shoulder, or lower back? Are you tired of living with arthritis pain? QC Kinetics offers natural pain treatment that can repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints.
Listen, I know pain, and I've seen firsthand how powerful biologic therapies can be. Patients at QC Kinetics rave about their results because they're getting their lives back. They're getting moving again.
These exciting regenerative treatments used to be available only to pro athletes like Emmett. Now they're available to anyone thanks to QC Kinetics. Call today for your free consultation.
Get long-lasting results from my friends at QC Kinetics.
Call QC Kinetics 352-400-4550. In North Central Florida, call 352-400-4550. QC Kinetics 352-400-4550.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration points where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Nike, Bass Pro Shops, Regal Cinemas, Le Macaron French Pastries, Dave & Buster's, Palmetto Moon, and the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Make your reservations today at Spurrier's.com. And don't forget, Visors, Tailgate, and Rooftop Bars open as well. We will see you at Celebration Point where the Gators go to celebrate. We're not going to go to the Titan Tomorrow Hotline, and we're joined by writer for the Lexington Herald Leader, John Clay, covers the Kentucky Wildcats, also has his own podcast. Good morning, John. How are you, bud?
I'm good, Shane. How are you?
Not too bad. John, I just want to get a perspective. First of all, let's talk about this Kentucky football team. You know, they got a lot of love at SEC Media Days. You know, some so-called experts picked them to be the second team behind Georgia. It seems like they've gotten a lot of love the last few years, and rightfully so. I think Mark Stoops done a tremendous job. But four games in, they're 4-0. Your thoughts on this Kentucky football team?
Well, I mean, they're 4-0, 2-0. They've kind of taken 2-0 in the SEC. They've kind of taken care of business to this point. The first four games on the schedule, I think people looked at it and said they got a good chance to beat 4-0. They got Missouri at home, which they beat Missouri 35-28 last week. They went to South Carolina, obviously rebuilding job there with Shane Beamer, able to win 16-10. On the plus side, they got a new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen from the Rams, who's opened up the passing game, but they've also still had a strong running game. The defense has played well. They're ninth in the nation in total defense. The downside's been they turned the ball over. They're 129th out of 130 teams, FBS teams in turnover margin, turned it over 11 times, only two takeaways. That's been the downside so far. Now they go into the stretch, these next three games with Florida, LSU, and Georgia. It's going to be the real test of, you know, how good is this Kentucky team?
Yeah, speaking of the offense, you know, I made a comment before the season that I was having a hard time buying into Kentucky until they could complete some forward passes. That's and right. I got blasted by the Big Blue Nation. But what I meant by that was, you know, I felt like Kentucky's been really solid the last three or four years, maybe longer under Stoops, but offensively they stunk when it came to throwing the football. And they were horrible last year throwing it. But then I watched the first game this year. I can't remember who they played. But as you said, the new offensive coordinator that came over from the Rams, they bring in the transfer Will Levis at quarterback. The concepts and the vertical passing game I loved the first couple times I watched them this year, and I said, okay, Kentucky's a team that could cause some problems because they know how to throw the football now. Have you seen an improvement in that area? I felt like against South Carolina, I didn't see a whole lot of throwing very well, but do you think they're better throwing the football?
They're better than they were last year, but as you said, that's a very low bar from last year. It's kind of a work in progress. As you mentioned, they've got Penn State transfer Will Levis, the quarterback, has a very strong arm, throws a real nice deep ball. He still needs work on his short and intermediate throws. Wandale Robinson, who's actually a local kid from Central Kentucky, who went to Nebraska, played his first 2 years, transferred to Kentucky. He's been a real weapon for him and added a dynamic feature to the offense. But the thing in the first four games, really against Missouri and South Carolina both, they kind of went back to what they did in the past because it worked well, and that was the run game with Chris Rodriguez, where they were physical and were able to win the game that way. But the reason Mark Stoops parted ways with Eddie Grant and brought in Liam Cohen is because exactly what you said. You know, you might be able to beat, you know, the mid to lower teams in the SEC just running the ball, but if you want to have any chance of playing beating the big dogs like Florida or Georgia or teams like that, you've got to be able to be more balanced to throw the ball. And they're moving in that direction, but they're, you know, they're not there yet, but they have made progress. I'm like you. I really like what Liam's doing. It's the Rams offense. The foundation is the running game, but a lot of play action off the running game, run game. It's just four games into it. I expect them to get better as the year goes on.
At Chris Dorey Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Dorey Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. We're on the Titan Moore Hotline with John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader talking Kentucky football. Okay, So we both agree that Kentucky's better offensively because of the passing game. My question to you is, we know how these defensive-minded head coaches get when it's crunch time, big games. Do you think Stoops will allow him? Because this is a huge game for Kentucky. If they win this game, that's three conference wins. Shooting, we're just now in the month of October. You think he's going to let him? I just go back to my days of Will Muschamp. You know, we'll look good offensively one game, the next game, because he's a defensive-minded guy. You know, they kind of tighten up. How do you see it playing out?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. That's a big question. I mean, when Mark first got here, he hired Neil Brown as his offensive coordinator, now the West Virginia coach. He had the air raid background, Neil did. They threw the ball around a lot. Mark never seemed quite comfortable with it. Then they brought in Shannon Dawson from West Virginia, another air raid guy. He and Mark parted ways after 1 year because Mark just wasn't comfortable with that kind of offense. He brought back Eddie Grant. They went to the offense that Mark really wanted to run, which was a more physical offense. And as you said, they were successful with that. But the bar was – they kind of hit a ceiling about how far they can go. When it comes down to crunch time, that's going to be an interesting question. Mark says it's Liam's offense. He's going to let Liam run his offense. But like I said, in both the Missouri and the South Carolina game, they really pounded the ball. They kind of looked, you know, kind of a throwback to what they were doing before. And it worked. Now, we'll see when they get in a game like Florida, when it comes down to crunch time, when they need to open it up and throw the ball, will they do that? I think Liam will do that and wants to do that. And we'll see if Mark's comfortable with it. But that's a very legitimate question.
Switching to the defense side of the ball, obviously, Stoops, it's his defense. He's done a great job since he's taken over there. I believe you said they're ranked ninth nationally. What are you hearing from the Kentucky coaches or what have you about facing this Florida offense, which is totally different than what they did last year, but second in America in rushing the football?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Mark has been very complimentary. I mean, he's faced Dan Mullen a bunch of times, both Mississippi State and Florida. He refers to Dan as being one of the best play callers in the country. And he talked earlier this week about how impressive it is to go from with, I think they were number one in the nation last year in pass offense with Kyle Trask and the great receivers. They had Kyle Pitts, guys like that, to be able to switch and go to a run heavy attack, especially with a lot of quarterback run. They've been very impressed with that. Kentucky's done a pretty good job so far against the run, but they haven't played the greatest of competition. They played, you know, Louisiana Monroe in the first game, who didn't win a game, was never even ahead in a game last year. They had a hard time with really the team that ran the ball the best against them was Chattanooga, an FCS team that they kind of took lightly, had to struggle to beat. They did much better last week against South Carolina, but Florida will be a real test, especially in the running game, playing a physical brand of football. And they know that's going to be a real challenge for them on Saturday.
How's the secondary for Kentucky? You know, I know in the past, Stoops has put a lot of DBs in the National Football League. How do they look in the secondary this year?
They're a little – they've been thin in the secondary. And one of the reasons they've been thin is they had six players – who got in trouble in the offseason, who were charged with alleged burglary at a fraternity party back in March. That's finally been settled. The grand jury did not indict them, so they're back in practice. I don't know that they'll play Saturday, but three of those guys were not starters in the secondary, but they were going to add depth in the secondary. They've got a couple of really good players in the secondary. One is Yusuf Corker. He's got a chance to be All-SEC. But I'm not sure this is quite as strong a secondary as Mark has had in the past, where, you know, guys like Kelvin Joseph last year was a second round pick. Mike Edwards, who's now starting safety with Tampa Bay. I'm not sure they have quite in their older players. They got some young guys they feel good about, but I'm not sure they're quite as strong as they have been in the secondary.
Yeah, Chris had a question on Facebook Live. You kind of answered it. Will those six guys coming back have an impact? Or are they starters? I know you said three of them would provide depth if they play to the secondary. Were the other three starters? Were any of the six guys a starter anywhere?
No, none of the six guys were starters. Vito Tisdale, who was a defensive back, who's one of them, I think he was going to play a lot. I don't know that he was going to start, but he was definitely going to play a lot. Jutai McClain, a running back, had a real good camp before they sat him down with the legal troubles. He was going to play a lot, but he wasn't going to start in front of Chris Rodriguez. So it's more of a depth matter. They did start practicing last week, even though they weren't they were allowed. The legal status was cleared up this week. But Mark said again last night when we talked to him after practice, you know, I got the feeling that it'd be surprised if any of those guys play. They're just not quite ready to play yet.
When you look at this Kentucky team, what in your mind do they have to do to win tomorrow night?
Well, I think they got to do two things. One thing, they got to cut out the turnovers. They can't continue to make turn the ball over like they did against the first four opponents and beat Florida doing that. The second thing, they got to control Florida's run game. They've got to be able to, control the quarterback run. That's one thing that's historically has given Kentucky problems, the dual threat quarterback. I think those are going to be the two big keys. And if I had to throw in a third one, it's hit the big play. You know, they're very familiar, familiar with Dan Mullen. They're very familiar with Todd Grantham from his days of Louisville, Georgia, Mississippi State, and now Florida. You know, Marcus talked about he has a lot of respect for Todd, but they know Todd is a high-risk, high-reward defensive coordinator who does a lot of different things. And then you've got Liam Cohen. This is his first year as a play caller in FBS football, much less the SEC. To me, that's going to be a really interesting matchup because you know Todd's going to do a lot of things to try to mess with Liam's mind, and how's he going to respond to that?
Yeah, that's a good point. We got a text on the Titan Mark text line for you, John. It comes from Jimmy. Jimmy wants to know, what's the health of Kentucky going into this game?
They're pretty healthy. They don't have anybody who's really banged up. There was some talk before the South Carolina game about Wandale Robinson having some hamstring problems, but he played in the game and played pretty well in the game. Not quite as – he didn't put up the numbers he put in the first three games. We asked Mark about it earlier in the week. He said he's got some nagging problems, but he'll be good to go on Saturday. Really, they don't have anybody else that we know of. Mark's not the most forthcoming on injuries. If we hear about somebody being injured and we ask, he'll tell us, but he doesn't like to volunteer that information. But as far as we know, they're pretty healthy coming into this game.
Yeah, I don't think any coaches give any information these days.
No.
I want to ask you about the transfer portal. Obviously, Florida added three big defensive tackles. We've had some receivers over the years. Dan's done a tremendous job with the transfer portal. You mentioned Wandale Robinson, the kid that transferred from Nebraska. Any other big-time transfers that have stepped into the starting lineup for Kentucky?
Yeah, a couple of them. One on offense.
Will Levis.
Yeah, Will Levis, obviously. Another one is Dare Rosenthal, transfer from LSU, is the starting left tackle. The talk was before the season started that Darian Kennard, their right tackle, who's an All-American candidate, was going to move over to left tackle to kind of get him ready for the NFL. But when they got Rosenthal, he looked so good early in camp, they decided to put Rosenthal at left and move Darian back to right tackle. The other guy is kind of a little bit under the radar is Jacquez Jones, linebacker transfer from Ole Miss. He led Ole Miss in tackles last year on that Ole Miss defense. Now, of course, that Ole Miss defense was horrible, but he's done a good – he's a starter. He's done a good job. One of their two interceptions this year, Jacquez had that interception. He's – Marcus done a – he did a good job in the offseason of bringing in transfers in places where they needed help, and all four of those guys have really helped them so far.
What's the pulse of the Big Blue Nation with the Gators coming into town? Last time Kentucky won in Lexington, I think it was 1986.
That's right.
I think we've won, 35 of the last 36? I could be wrong there, but something along those lines.
I
know they're going to be excited, but do they really believe they can win this game?
I think they do. I mean, if you look the last two times that Florida's come into Kroger Field, had that 28-27 game, I guess would be 4 years ago now or 3 years, whatever it was, where Kentucky didn't cover a couple of Florida receivers and gave up touchdowns, really should have won that game. Then last time, Kentucky had a 21-10 lead. That's when Felipe Franks got hurt. Kyle Trask came in, led the Gators to a victory, and he was Florida's quarterback from then on. So I think Kentucky feels like they can play with him. I think they feel like last year was kind of an aberration, the COVID year. Kentucky didn't have all their players. In fact, your friend of mine, Pat Dooley, pointed something out to me this week that I didn't know. Chris Rodriguez, who's Kentucky's best back, has never carried the ball against Florida. He hasn't played. He played, I think, in one of the three games. Last year he missed the game because of COVID. But he didn't have a carry. So I think they feel like last year was kind of an aberration. So I think Kentucky fans feel like they can play with Florida, but there's been a lot of times over the years where they play with Florida, but they haven't beaten Florida. I mean, I go back to the 7 interception game with Steve Spurrier,
who was coach
of Florida, and Kentucky had 7 interceptions and still couldn't win because of Chris Dorings scored the touchdown near the end of the game.
That was the year after I graduated, and I was in Chicago. And I remember sitting in the team hotel. That was before every game was on TV, and ESPN would give updates. And they'd show another interception. And I'm trying to find it on the radio. I'm losing my mind in this hotel before the Bears game. That here we are. We're getting ready to lose to Kentucky. and then the miracle happened. Got a couple questions for you here before we let you go, John. Sure. Speaking of, John says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, let's get to the important question. What kind of team is Rachel Lawson going to have this year?
Rachel always has a good team. They'll always be competitive as long as Rachel is coaching. They're very very optimistic about Kentucky softball this year.
Okay, I can't let you go before we talk. Basketball season has cranked up. Practice has started. I want to say, and I could be wrong, they had a big bunch of turnover this year, right, at Kentucky? Or no, was that last year? I can't remember.
It's Kentucky with John Calipari. Well, they always have turnover. It's basically a new roster every year. They do
that's
have
true.
Four holders. Well, five, actually, because Davion Mintz came back. But they've got a lot of new faces, a lot of transfers, kind of like with football with Mark Stoops. They got Kellen Grady from Davidson, C.J. Frederick from Iowa, Sevier Wheeler from Georgia, Oscar Shibway from West Virginia. So they got a lot of transfers coming in. Kentucky fans are still trying to think, you know, what happened last year to go 9-16 in basketball is pretty unthinkable around here. They're ready to wipe the slate clean and start all over. And, I think they'll be good again. I think they'll be back to being good this year. The only thing is the SEC is going to be really good this year. I mean, when you look around the league, what Alabama, what Nate Oates has done at Alabama, what Musselman's done at Arkansas, I think Florida will be better this year with Mike White, Rick Barnes at Tennessee. Kentucky will be better, but I think there are going to be a lot of teams in the SEC that are better this year as well. So it's going to be a tough year.
One more quick text from the Titan Mark text line from Larry. He wants to know, what are the Kentucky fans, what are y'all's thoughts about Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC?
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to make it tougher for everybody in the SEC, especially programs like Kentucky. You know, they're trying to fight and get up to that top tier. But I think overall, I think it'll make the league stronger. I think there's a portion of the fan base that are excited about the thought of Texas and Oklahoma coming in to play at Kroger Field. I hope the SEC does something different with the schedule so that, you know, you get more of these teams in. I mean, Texas A&M, how long they've been in the league? Kentucky's played them once down in College Station. They've never been to Lexington to play here. So hopefully they'll do something different. But, I mean, obviously it's going to make it tougher. I don't think it's going to hurt Kentucky from the standpoint of recruiting that much because they don't really recruit in Texas a whole lot. Mark Stoops, since he's been here, because he's from Ohio, he gets a lot of players out of Ohio and Michigan, north of the border in Kentucky. So I don't think having Texas and Oklahoma will hurt them in that respect, and it may help them because it's going to do nothing but, you know, raise the profile of the league.
Final question. Stoops, I could be wrong, he's the all-time winningest coach now in Kentucky football history?
He's 52-50. Yeah, he's the first coach since Blaine Carter to have a winning record. He's also the all-time winningest coach as far as SEC victories, but that's only 26. He passed Fran Kersey, who had 25. They didn't play as many SEC games back when Bear Bryant was coach back in the late 40s and early 50s. But, yeah, Mark's done a really good job.
So where I was going with that, I mean, obviously every school in the SEC wants to win an SEC title, but sometimes you got to be realistic. And Kentucky's one of those teams when it comes to football. Fan base, alumni, they have to be pretty happy with what he's done with this program, right?
Oh, yeah. I think they're very happy. Five straight bowls. They won three bowls in a row. They've improved the facilities. They have a football training center that's really nice. They've upgraded the stadium. You know, Marcus kind of built it brick by brick. A friend of mine last year, a longtime Kentucky football fan, said to me, and I think it's very true, you have to be a longtime Kentucky fan to really appreciate the job that he's done, the way he's built it. They have a strong foundation. To me, he's kind of taken what Rich Brooks did when Rich was here, that foundation, and he's kind of built on that and taken it to the next level. Yeah, I think the fans are happy. But, you know, Shane, you know how fans are. You know, you start winning 7 or 8 games, they say, well, why aren't we winning 9 or 10? And if you start 9 or 10, why aren't we winning, you know, conference championships, or why aren't we winning national championships? So they're ready to go to that next level. And we'll see, you know, what happens Saturday night when they play. If they want to go to that next level, they got to start beating teams like Florida and Georgia. Stoops is 1-7 against Florida. He's 0-8 against Georgia. So that's the next step in the program.
Yeah. Well, John, we appreciate you taking the time to join our program. Let everybody know how they can listen to your podcast and read all your good work.
You can follow me on Twitter at John Clay IV. You can find me online at Kentucky.com. And yes, I have a podcast, the John Clay Podcast. You can find that pretty much wherever you get your podcasts.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Thanks for having me on, Shane. Enjoyed talking to you.
Absolutely. That's John Clay. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. We're going to take our final timeout, come back, wrap up this Friday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Q Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar, located on top of Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Celebration Point, is now open Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Covered Open Air Bar is the perfect place to gather after work or meet up with friends. You'll love the handcrafted cocktails and elevated shareables available every Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar is perfect for fans of great food, great drinks, and great weather. Visor's not required. High spirits are highly encouraged. Visit Spurrier's.com/visors.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Now, South State Bank, but they still put business first. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State still has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking forward member, FDIC. A couple of Facebook lives before we get out of here. Somebody was asking, Cliff, I don't think Florida's ever played TAMU in Gainesville. But we've played them there several times. Yeah, that was when we had those greenish uniforms. I think we beat Kellen Mond and his crew. And John says, I won't complain. Shane's Aggies are horrible. They are horrible right now. Very disappointing, John. They do have good running backs now. You guys watch. Their running backs will be in the National Football League. They're just not a very good football team right now. I think they get right against Mississippi State this weekend. Before we go, recap our picks real quick. JC has Iowa, I have Maryland. He's got Arkansas, I got Georgia. He's got Bama, I got Ole Miss. He's got Kentucky, I got Florida. We both have A&M. I have the Auburn Tigers. He's got the LSU Tigers. Both have Wisconsin. I got Notre Dame. He's got Cincy. I got Okie State. He's got Baylor. We both have BC. We both have Syracuse. And we both have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Should be a heck of a game tomorrow night. At Kroger Field there in Lexington, Kentucky. If you ever watch college football, this, you know, usually when they have these big weekends of college football, the games don't pan out. But boy, is it a good slate starting at noon. If you just sit on the couch, don't move, you got good games from noon till midnight. And so should be a lot of fun watching. No doubt. Hope you enjoyed the program today. Again, we want to thank John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader joining us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. Today's show's a wrap by Wrap Spot. Enjoy your weekend, and let's bring home a win for the Gators. See you tomorrow. I'll see you Monday.